In preparing for this message, I don't know what was going on exactly. It took me a long time to figure out what God was wanting to say, and sometimes that can be kind of scary journey. Like, God, are you going to give me something to say? And I expect that He still could change some of that midstream here, so I'm ready for that. And so I'd like to start just with prayer, just to ask that God would speak what He wants to say to each of us here today. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for how You speak to us. Lord, I thank You for this body of believers that You've brought together here this morning. And Lord, You know You want us to learn, what You want us to understand. You know what I need to learn, what I need to hear from You. And I just ask that You would guide me as I speak this morning. I pray that that Your words would be said, that Your message would be given. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening we are having a ministry fair, I think Keith talked a little bit more about what that is earlier. And it's where you'll see and have some opportunity to see what you can do as far as being involved in the ministry here at London Christian Fellowship. A lot of different areas, that different teams that are functioning, doing different things. And so you get a chance to hear some about that, and then also to kind of hear some of the ways that they could use some help, and see maybe how you can help with those different areas. Now, the question that I've been thinking about a lot this week is, why should we serve? And I'm not talking about just in the church. That's one area where we serve. We serve each other. But this question just kept rolling around in my mind. Why is it that we serve in the church, or we serve people in particular? Why should we teach Sunday school, or should we help with ushering, or why should we work in the nursery? And maybe you've asked those questions before as to, you know, why do I do these things? And so I know from experience, my own experience, and from our culture, and from talking with you all, that we're very busy people. I see Austin's going to help me out here this morning. Thank you, Austin. But we're very busy people. And so the question of why to serve is a fair question, because we look at that when we're asked to help with different things, or when God calls us to do something, and we look at it and we say, okay, now how do I fit that in to my schedule? It's often what we look at. We get all these things going along, and we see something that needs to be done that God's asking us to do, and we're saying, well, how do I fit that in? And so this morning, thinking, you know, how am I going to convince you that you need to do that? And can I actually do that? Can I convince you with some kind of sales pitch about why you should serve in a particular way? And the answer to that is probably not. For one, I'm not much of a salesman. When I worked at Command Alcon, they kind of liked to keep me away from the customers because I would tend to, they'd ask me about our product, you know, and I'd say, well, yes, it does this and this, but, you know, it has this problem here, and I don't know, this problem over here. And so they would kind of like, the salespeople are like, okay, you know, we'll keep the QA people away from the customers. Not a bad idea, probably. But so I can't really do that even if I wanted to. I can't really give any sales pitch about why you should serve. Besides, serving as a follower of Jesus really is much deeper than a simple sales pitch, a shallow sales pitch would probably cover, be able to explain. Now, depending on the day, you might be a little cranky about serving. Does anybody ever get cranky about serving? Anybody? Yes, a few of us do, and the rest of you are just not being honest. But yeah, we get a little cranky sometimes when we're asked to do something or when we've been maybe serving in a position for a while. And there's some questions that can come up to us. It's like, okay, now what about, where's my time? When do I get my time for just me, like what I want to do? When do I get that? Or sometimes we think, well, does anybody even notice what I'm doing? Does anybody even appreciate the fact that I'm doing this? Anybody ever think that? I'm the only one? Okay. But yeah, we do. And why do it if nobody appreciates it? It's one of the questions we kind of struggle with sometimes. Or maybe, am I really accomplishing anything here? You ever felt like you're just doing things over and over and it's like, is this really doing something important? Or here's a good one. When is somebody going to serve me? Everybody felt that way? Like, when do I get to be served instead of being the one that's always serving? Or maybe I'm just, you know, an average person and I don't really have anything that I can do. And so, I don't know. Nobody really needs me to help out because I don't really have anything special to offer. So why should I serve in a way that, you know, I don't really have any abilities? Or maybe you're just tired. You know, I just want to sleep. I just want to kick back and relax for a while. I haven't played golf for weeks. I need to get out on the golf course. And those are good things to do, and I'm not cutting on those. We all need those things. I remember my sister and brother-in-law, they serve in a church out in New Jersey, and I remember them talking about a family in their church who got to that point where they were contributing a lot, and all of a sudden they just said, you know what, this is too much. And they just completely pulled out of all the things that they were doing and out of the work of the church because they just reached that point where they felt like they needed to have time for themselves. So this is a challenging topic, I think, to talk about. It can be, because I think at various times we've all wondered these things. We've all had these kinds of questions. And these are just some of a few of the feelings that we can have about serving others. Like I said, a simple sales pitch is not going to get you past those feelings or those questions. And I'm asking you to take some of your time this evening to come out and to consider how you could serve in the church this coming year, what the needs are and how you might be able to plug into that. So we need to dig a lot deeper in order to be able to understand what this is about and why we do it. We need a foundation to stand on, and I want to start with a story in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, I'd like you to follow along with me in this story. As a way of kind of setting a foundation for why we serve. Mark chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 35 to 45. Says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. I just have to stop there for a moment. Does that strike anybody funny a little bit? You come to Jesus and say, we want you to do whatever we ask. I don't know, maybe it's the translation. It just seems curious to me to come to Jesus in that way. It kind of gives us an idea of where they're going with this. He says, what do you want me to do for you? And they replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant, These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they were indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Well, I think we have a foundation here of why it is that we serve. For those of us who follow Jesus Christ, we follow his example. And what did Jesus come to do? He had every right to set up his kingdom, to rule with authority. And he came to serve. He came to lower himself to serve some of the lowliest people. He came to serve to the point of giving his very own life. It was his purpose. And Jesus calls us as well to serve. Those of us who are following him are following in his footsteps. We are doing the same, and this is what we're called to do. It is the essence of what we are about as believers. Now, what were James and John concerned about? Well, they were concerned about recognition. They were concerned about reputation, about position. They were wondering how this was going to turn out for them. What were they going to get out of this? And we see the other disciples weren't necessarily much better. Because how did they respond to James and John's request? Well, they were irritated about it. You know, when you've been in that position where somebody else is trying to get, kind of weasel their way in, and you find out it's like, this isn't right. No, and why isn't it right? Well, because I wouldn't mind having that position. And so, and we find earlier, they're arguing on the road. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. This is the argument that's happening among the disciples. So they're all kind of in the same boat here. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem here. He's on his way to offer his life as a sacrifice for all mankind. That's where they're headed. And what do the disciples think about? They're thinking about, what is in this for me? Doesn't this seem so wrong? Think that what Jesus is doing, his very purpose, they're missing it. And just before this, he had described to them the suffering that he was going to go through, the torment that he was going to go through. And somehow they keep missing it. It'd be very easy to just kind of come down on them and be hard and say, why didn't you guys get it? As I've been studying through the book of Mark with our Bible discussion group, it just seems like over and over I wonder, well, come on, guys. Why didn't you get it? Who Jesus was, what he was about. But it's a very clear picture of what we do as well. We do the same things. I talked earlier about the busyness of our lives, and we think, and this is how we often think. It's like, okay, God's asking me to do something. How do I fit this in to my life? Now think about that. How do I fit this in with everything else that I'm doing? Do you find anything wrong with that question? At first glance, maybe not. But that's how we look at it. It's not about serving and giving our lives for God and then the other things come after that. But it's how do I fit these things in to my already busy life? It reminds me of the question that some youth gave me to discuss at a youth Bible study. And the question they gave me was, they said, how can I please myself while also pleasing God? That's the question that they want to discuss. Now, how would you answer that question? And you might think, well, that seems kind of like a crazy question to ask, a little bit backwards, but I think it's an honest question. And I think if we were to all look at ourselves, honestly, we do the same thing. We really look at life this way. How can I please myself and then fit God into that as well, or please God? And how do I do those two things at the same time? Because those are the things that I want to do. What is in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? We forget that we are asking one who has nail scars in his hands and his feet. We're asking one who has given up everything for us. And yet, it's so easy for me, it's so easy for us to say, you know what, how can I fit in maybe what you want me to do with what I want to do? Yeah, ironic thing is that Jesus had just told, like I said, he just told the disciples the things that he was going to suffer. And it went right over their head. They just didn't get it. And I wonder whether we get it either. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to serve the lowliest of people, to lay down his life for you and me. And we who are his followers are called to do nothing less. We are to give everything. He wants everything from us. It reminds me of the story of the rich young ruler. You remember he came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "You know, what have you done?" He said, "Well, I've kept all the commandments. I've done all of these things for you." But Jesus looked at him and he knew his heart and he said, "I want you to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me." And what did he do? He walked away sad. He was not ready to do that. And I think we often come to Jesus the same way with our list of things that we have done for him. And we say, you know what? That's enough. This is enough. I've done this, 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 and this. But I reserve the right to keep the rest of this over here. So we can't be hard on the rich young ruler either, because I believe we do the same. Well, the second scripture I would like to look at is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We're going to shift our focus a little bit here. It says, "Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms." We've already established a foundation of why we serve, that Jesus served and he calls us to serve. But this scripture brings out a few other points for us to remember. And maybe addresses some of the questions that I raised earlier. Each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. You are a gifted individual. Did you know that? I know they have gifted classes in school, and this is a gifted class right here. Every one of you has been given a gift as a believer, as a follower of Christ. Some of you may think that you have nothing special to offer, but that goes directly against what Scripture says. The Scripture says you have been given a gift, and you are expected to use that gift. Do you know what your gift is, or gifts? Do you know what they are? Do you know if you're utilizing them? I have a workbook that I have often given people to work through to help figure out what their gift is. And so if you've never done that, I encourage you to ask me about that and work through that book. to get an idea. What is it that God has made me to do? He's crafted each of us in a special way to do acts of service. What is it that he's given you to do? And I'm hoping this evening, as we have the ministry fair, that God might turn some light bulbs on for you as well and say, you know what? That's an area that I think God wants me to serve in. It's an area that he's gifted me in to serve. I don't know if anybody has watched part. I watched just a little bit of the, I can't remember the name of the show now. Is it Who's Got Talent? What's the name of that show that just finished up? America's Got Talent? There's a 10-year-old girl on there. I saw the girl Jackie. Does anybody see Jackie sing? Yeah, just, anybody else amazed by a voice of a 10-year-old girl like that? I just was like, I saw on the internet after the next day that there was questions about whether there was a voiceover going on because of this depth of quality of a voice coming from a 10-year-old child. It just didn't match. It was just amazing to watch. And when I was thinking about gifts here, I think each of us has been given a gift like that, that God has given to you. And what do you think if Jackie would just not sing? What do you think? Would that be a good idea? She has a beautiful gift. It would be a shame for her not to exercise that, for others to be able to hear such a beautiful voice. I'd be interested to see where she takes that, what she does with that. But the same is for us. Each of us has been given a gift. And the purpose of the gift is not for ourselves. It's to serve others, to serve other people. It's not to draw attention to yourself. It's not for you. And when you don't use your gift, there's really a form of God's grace that is missing in the body of Christ. So you have a gift and you are called to be faithful with your gift. All right, I want to jump again to another passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 11 through 13. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, this passage mentions only a few of the gifts, in particular some of the teaching and preaching gifts, but also emphasizes that these particular gifts are to be used for serving others, and in this case, for those in the church, to serve those in the church. When I look at this passage, I'm a little relieved, at least as a pastor. Because when I look at the job description for a pastor, it seems pretty overwhelming. If you think about, I've seen several job descriptions for pastors, pages long, preaching, teaching, counseling, administering, leading, and those are just a few of the things that are expected of a pastor to do. But when I read this passage, I'm relieved because it says the primary purpose for a pastor is to equip the rest of you to minister. That you are the ministers. You are the ones who are carrying out the work, really the main work of the church. And sometimes I think we look at the pastor and say, well, we have the pastor there so he can do the ministry and do all that. But it's not possible. I've tried it. I've looked at it and said, okay, when I first started pastoring, I tried to do all of these things, and some of them just didn't fit. I didn't have the skill to do them. And I don't. And so I have to rely heavily on the whole body to minister to everyone else. And that's how God designed it. He didn't design just for one gift to like have prominence. But he designed it for all of the gifts to work together to carry out the work of the church and what he's asked us to do. This past week, I've been going to a lot of soccer games, and because my son and daughter are both playing soccer. And I got the chance to see, it was London against Jonathan Alder, and London got beat pretty handily. It was like 7-0, I think. And it was interesting to watch Jonathan Alder play. Probably the best team that I've seen this year play. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. Everybody knew their role. Everybody played their position. They weren't out of position. They had skill. They were well coached. They knew what to do in each situation. Not that they didn't make mistakes, but you could tell that there was just a level of maturity there, of skill there, that was fun to watch, even though it was on the other team. Now, all of my kids have come up through the Kiwanis League in playing soccer, and so I get to watch some of those games too. And I had to kind of think, wow, there's some good kids here, but these kids have not matured yet. There's still a lot of confusion on the field about what's going on. I see there's some players that know what's going on, but it seems like a large part of them are still trying to figure it out, what soccer's all about. And so you'll have a kid make a great cross to the front of the goal, and you have kids standing in front of the goal. There goes the ball. I'm like, that was a great cross. Kick it in. And they're probably saying, what's a cross? But anyway, so in watching that, I just had to realize, you know, this they haven't gotten to the point of maturity yet, where they know how to utilize their skills together, to work together. They still need some more coaching on how to do that. And even when you have one good player on the team, it can go for a little while, and sometimes they can even win games with one good player if the other team is not real great. But most of the time, one good player is just not enough. They might take the ball all the way down the field and score by themselves, but they're not going to do that very often. And eventually the team play of other team takes over. And the one good player is basically not that useful because he needs the whole team. And so that's, I think, a good picture of how it works when we work together as a body of believers, when we serve together. When we're mature, working together, we work as a team, and we work efficiently. We need everybody. And so this third point is one of maturity. The reason we serve is because as we serve together, it says that we mature and we grow. That's part of the reason how we grow together as a body of believers and how we attain maturity. The scripture also talks about unity, so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith. As we work together, we mature, we come together in unity of a common understanding of who Jesus is and what he's asked us to do. We understand the mission, we understand the purpose, and we are all working together to accomplish that. And that's what happens with maturity. It brings unity. If you are not serving with other believers, the chances are you will probably not feel a part. You will probably not feel that unity. You'll probably feel a bit distant. And the entire body will suffer from a lack of unity and a lack of maturity because they need you and the gifts that you have to bring. Let me read verse 16 here yet. It says, from him, talking about Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And here we have the language of the body that's used often to describe us as a church. We are all connected together. It says ligaments holding us together, building each other up as each part does its work. And this is a beautiful picture of the church. And it's been a beautiful picture I've seen here among us. I've seen people stepping up, working together, doing things that I can't do. And I look at that and it makes me excited. Because I see God working in others and things that I know He's doing, but it's not possible for me. I don't have the gifts or the skills to do that. It's a beautiful picture. And it's one that we need to be encouraged to continue. The health and growth of the church is dependent on the faithful exercise of our gifts and our works of service. And we need to think of it that way. That is how we are connected to each other. All right, I want to jump back to 1 Peter again, chapter 4, in conclusion. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. He says, "If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Maybe one of the most important reasons to serve is for God's glory. And last Sunday, I attempted to help us see this amazing Creator God of the universe. And ultimately, our service is for one purpose only, and that is that God would be praised. And this can be a struggle for us. As I mentioned earlier, we do want recognition often. We want praise. We want appreciation. But this is a reminder that it's not about us. This is about a God who loves us, a God who is all-powerful, who deserves all the praise. He's the one that gives us the ability to do all the things that we can do anyway. And that's why it says here that we need to do the things with the strength that God provides. We need to do this in God's strength. We need to do it through God's power. We need to recognize that it is His power and not our own. And we need to give all the honor and glory to Him. Doris and I were talking this week as we were talking about the obituaries in the Madison Press. And it's just interesting to see that it seems to be a lot of people our age, in the mid-40s, very often in the obituaries there. And I don't know, maybe it's just because we're getting older, I'm thinking about it more, I don't know. But I asked Doris, I said, "So, are we ready? Like, if this were us, are we ready to go in it? If we are, what would we like to, you know, what would we like it to be about?" And she said, I want to finish this race and I want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I agree with her. Really, that's what I want to hear at the end of the race. To see my King face to face and to hear those words and to enter into the joy of my Lord. Because this life is temporary. Everything here is temporary. But the awesome thing that we have to look forward to is we have a great inheritance, not just heaven, but the greater inheritance of a Father who loves us, and to be in His very presence and to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What more could we want? What more could we want in life? Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You choose to use us. I know that You don't need us, that You could accomplish Your work in a million different ways. But You choose to work through us. And not only that, but You give us gifts and abilities and strength that is beyond what we have, so that we can be a part of building Your kingdom, so that we can be a part of Your work. And Lord, I pray that we would mature in you as a body, that we would give opportunity for all the gifts to function, for each part of the body to do its part. And I pray for an appreciation of each one as well, that we would appreciate each other and what we bring. And Lord, I ask that you would use us this year as a church to carry out the work that you've called us to. Lord, we know that there is much to be done in your kingdom. And we look forward to being a part of that work. And we trust that you will continue to give us the strength and the energy and the wisdom and the power to carry out your work, the things that you've given us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.